Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lions send four. Rodgers back, sets the pocket. Pressure comes behind. Going to get hit. Going to get sacked. Back inside the 45-yard line with a flag down. Rodgers is walking off the field like he believes this flag is against Green Bay. Let's see what we got.
Trey Flowers seems to be in disbelief.
It'll be use of hands. Hands to the face. Oh. Defense, number 90.
Oh.
5-yard penalty from the previous spot. First down, Green Bay.
What? Gotta be kidding me. And you can see the expression on Trey Flowers' face from way up here. I mean, he seemed to be in disbelief that it was called on him.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
He's got his hand not in his face. His hand is engaged with his chest. That's terrible.
That was a bad call, a missed call by the officials.
That is a huge call. Yes. Green Bay's punting with a big loss. Instead, now they get an automatic first down. Matt Patricia is livid down on the sidelines.
He should be.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Boston. How's your mic?
Mine's good.
Oh, there you go.
I was yelling, so I didn't turn it on yet. I just want to see how hard he's doing today.
I feel bad. I do.
I'm not good. I mean,
you said you had.
There's very few things I get that worked up over.
And you said you lost sleep last night.
I couldn't fall asleep last night.
That's not a joke.
I couldn't fall asleep last night after the end of that game and watching Aaron Rodgers being granted unlimited downs so that he could move his team not just into scoring position, but run enough time off the clock so that it was a physical time-space continuum impossibility for the Lions to get the ball back and try and make something happen. But rest assured, even if they did, they would not have been allowed to get into field goal position, much less score a touchdown. I'm used to it, but still, it drives me insane that team is not allowed to win against teams like the Packers, the Seahawks, the Cowboys. It's not a fix. No one's making money off it. It's dictated by the league, and the referees go in there with 100% agenda. He's Aaron Rodgers. No one else matters. They're getting the calls tonight, but I'm bump them. Four of them.
Yeah.
Four of them.
Have you been watching the
league
this year?
I will argue to the death the other two, which not everyone agrees with me on. The two hands to the face are inarguable. You can't argue them.
It's inexcusable.
They said it on the telecast last night. Those guys are in the hip pocket of the league, too.
I know.
And they kept saying, like, you can't do that. You can't make that call. And they made it twice.
It's the best thing
when they stopped him on third down. They stopped him both times, and they said, whoa, hold on a second. They're still behind in this game, and there's a lot of time on the clock. We got to let the Packers keep the ball here and allow them to burn some more clock and, more importantly, get into a scoring position. You got to get them at least into field goal position. It's not even a question in my mind anymore. It's completely rigged.
So you
they
believe
jobbed
you
again.
You genuinely believe there is
a genuinely believe
at the league level.
Against
the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
To prevent them from winning ball
games.
You really believe that?
Yes.
That's because you're a Lions fan.
when you are
pre- you sound
when you are
like
presented
the Patriots fans
evidence
there is
time after time after time go back to the Seahawks in 2010
against
the Cowboys when the Cowboys were all set to play the Packers. Whoever wins this game gets the pack. That can't be the Lions. Those were even more egregious.
Look,
those calls
look,
against the
look
Cowboys
over your left shoulder.
And
just,
then as
just
bad as these were last night,
this is so bad.
There was it. You know
see,
what?
I don't think the fix is in. I really don't. I don't think this is attached to gambling and spreads.
No, I don't think it's attached to gambling and spreads either.
They are so in over their head. And the problem is the OPI, the PI, that's all going to be thrown out in a year because they're not really going to overturn things. You know, and your ability to challenge calls now. Like this should have went right to the booth in New York. And they should have fixed this.
How is that the fix, though?
I don't know. But obviously, they're talking to refs.
See, I don't think that's the fix either.
Look at the Houston game.
I don't think that's the fix either because the PI that should have been called on Green Bay, had they been able to challenge that, they wouldn't have overturned that. They wouldn't have called pass interference on Green Bay because
they're just going to stop every time. And
I don't know, but I mean, if they,
you can't just keep doing it.
Right there, it just gave them the game. Like, Booger McFarland lost his mind, and credit to him. Because he was right on the broadcast. He goes, you can't allow this to happen. It's affecting outcomes of games.
So
it affected Mahomes' decision process.
Booger McFarland and the rest of us have the ability to watch in high definition from six different angles.
Right.
And the guys on the field don't.
Right. The game's too fast.
And I could, the one that happened with under 2 minutes to play, the one that happened with 90-something seconds left in the game, you can see how from where the ref was standing, he may have thought he had seen hands to the face. There were no hands to the face.
Right.
It was a bad call. It was not the right call. But I could sort of understand how he may have seen it. And the problem is to me that the league wants these officials and tells these officials to be looking for so many penalties.
That's the problem.
What is with the emphasis on penalties in this league?
We're going to go to hands to the face this year. That's what we want.
No,
we're going to emphasize that.
It's
you can't
not
touch the helmet.
One
now
or two penalties. Now it's 10 different penalties.
They got them looking for 50 different things instead of just letting them call a football game.
But Beetle, it's more than that. When you have a player the caliber of Aaron Rodgers out there, who I don't like, he's not a likable guy, moseying around up to the line, acting like he's doing everybody a favor by being there.
Nice.
Screw him. Amazing passing quarterback. There's no doubt about that. He's a wonderful talent. But when you've got him out there versus the Lions, the referees are mandated to give him the calls. Give me another explanation as to why time after time after time, season after season, games are taken away from the Lions. They have the lead late in the game. What are we going to do? We're going to start either throwing phantom flags or when there are flags thrown, in the case of the Cowboys game, we're going to pick them up because it would benefit the Lions. It defies logic. I can't believe it's happening. When you see it happen year after year after year, what the hell other explanation is there? Bad luck. Oh, they just got a victim of some bad calls again. Oh, shucks. I don't believe that anymore. I was
last
willing
night
to consider
they were intent on looking
after
for it.
After a couple of times, not anymore. Not anymore. I won't even consider it. No, they're not allowed to win. Lions aren't allowed to win. It's bad for the league.
You're talking
bad for the
crazy
game. Now. Nobody cares about the Lions. Nobody cares about that team outside of Detroit. Nobody cares about that. They don't have any
for Lions.
High profile. Nobody cares.
Partial incompetence. I think it's a partial emphasis on too many penalties to be called in a game, and I really don't think that games are being fixed. And I don't think there is a league conspiracy against the Lions.
Fixing the games or implies like a gambling aspect or like a monetary thing. I'm not even going that far.
No,
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. A conspiracy against the Lions that in which they don't want the Lions to win games.
They don't want the Lions to win games.
I know that it feels that way to you.
No, it is.
They've
that
been
way.
On the receiving end of some really bad calls.
How much more evidence do you
but
need?
It's better if Green Bay win that division.
Time after time, year after year.
It's better for Green Bay to win that division.
They won't let them win.
Yeah.
I mean, and I said last night that
fixing it.
The Saints were victimized by the most.
The Lions call the Lions Cowboys thing was 5 years ago.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And what was the other call you referenced?
I think it was 2010 or 2011.
Okay, so you're talking about three games in a decade
that
you've been on the receiving end of bad calls.
Pivotal games that had playoff implications. But, they win that game last night, the Lions can go on, and they first of all, they would have led the division, and they would have been poised
Lions really have
to
one
win
loss
the division.
You're right.
Well,
Lions should really have one loss.
The much larger problem over the last decade has been that the Lions suck, not bad officials keeping the franchise.
They came to play last night. They don't suck
they came
that
to play.
Bad.
That offense
they're good enough
good.
To right. they're good enough to no, kick the Patriots
well,
ass last
year. Year after year after year, like league conspiracy to keep the Lions when you're talking about three games in a decade. The bigger problem for the Lions is they've historically
if they're all
been
pivotal
terrible
games,
for their existence.
If they're all pivotal games either in the playoffs or with playoff implications, yes, you can make that point. I'm making it right now.
Okay.
Well, if they win that game last night, they lead the division.
Over
the number three
problem.
Market in the country, if they lead it over Chicago and their baby boy, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, bless his heart. He's out there getting it done without his primary wide receivers. It's the greatest story on the planet. We love it. And then again, they have it shoved down my throat. Lisa on the Today Show this morning. Oh, Aaron Rodgers orchestrating a great fourth quarter comeback once again. Yeah, when you give Aaron Rodgers unlimited downs and you work the clock in his favor, he's going to beat you. When you just give him as many chances as he needs to move downfield and to get into position to score, yes, I would agree that Aaron Rodgers is going to beat you every single time. But the story of that game, and it pissed me off from the morning news programs to even on ESPN, that the lead story is Aaron Rodgers, hero, a late game hero once again. Oh, BS. Anyone with eyes and a brain who watched that game last night knows the story of that game. And the story of that game refs. Is blown calls and the refs and the Lions getting jobbed again. That's the story
well,
of that
Savannah
game.
And Hoda, they love Aaron Rodgers.
Did they have their wine? Of course they do.
Did they have their wine? Like their little, they have a little wine.
I don't know that they do the whole wine bit anymore.
Supposedly it's like apple juice because you can't legally have alcohol on TV.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They fake it?
Well, you can't drink on live TV.
We're on cable. Can we drink here?
Is that allowed? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, today might be the day for Hardy.
Today you might.
Today might be the day.
Might be the type
off
of day.
The you want the wagon. Off the wagon.
Let's go. We're going. I'm taking you out today.
We can drink on the air. That's not like an FCC thing. You can drink.
We'll go to Stinklaw's office. He got a lot of stuff.
617-779-0985. We got a great email yesterday. One of our listeners compiled some data before last night's game on the penalty problem in the NFL.
Oh, it's a problem.
It's a problem. Penalties are a problem in that there's too damn many of them. And they're looking for penalties in the game, which is what leads to games like last night, where you get teams that get jobbed by penalties because they're too eager in calling penalties. I got a fix for this. Call fewer penalties. You won't have this issue. You won't have teams getting hosed like the Lions did last night. It won't happen. 617-779-0985. We'll get to that coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
You put everybody back.
You wasted.
You put everybody back.
What is
and
it,
you put a couple of guys in front of the guys who are going to be in the end zone.
Detroit.
You defend the end zone. You put a guy in front. Put a guy in front of that guy. You don't put anybody on the sides. Let him run out of bounds.
Detroit.
There's no time. This is the most Lions finish.
Lions
yes. Bad call.
Thanks for being you,
bad
Detroit.
Call. You still have to defend that play. Oh my god, I can't have anything.
Detroit.
It's a good song. You get it like they got their pride? Like a lot.
Yeah.
Times never change, huh?
More of the same out there in Detroit.
Yeah, rip your face off.
Lion's pride.
Baby lion. Hold the baby lion.
Yeah. Lions pride.
That was 2015.
And the NFL can't see the forest for the trees when they do stuff like that, and when they hand a game over to Green Bay, all that does is devalue like the whole Green Bay and Lambeau mystique. Like, oh yeah, they're doing all this and they got the win.
I don't know. Anybody who's getting a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, anybody who's watching that game last night knows that was a bunch of crap. That was a huge load of crap. And for the record, I care nothing for the Lambeau mystique and the Green Bay Packers. So what? It's another team. Who gives a crap? And I really don't give a crap about Aaron Rodgers. I recognize him as being a top guy in the league, maybe ever. I mean, when it comes to during the playoffs, last couple of years, when he has a chance to win, he can absolutely throw daggers. But last night, they had to give him the game in order for him to win. It had to be given to him last night.
This email yesterday from Patrick in North Attleboro. I don't know if he wants his last name said on the air. Email me if you do. Patrick says, at some point, the NFL needs to be tied up and forced to watch some of the product that they're putting on TV each week. We read this yesterday. We're reading it again because it's even more relevant today than it was yesterday when he emailed us. And so these numbers don't include last night's game. This was prior to last night's game. This was through yesterday, but the numbers are still applicable. 33% increase in penalties in the league since 2008. Penalties are up one third since a little more than a decade ago. I mean, that just tells you right then and there, there's too many damn penalties in this game. Offensive holding is up 80% since 2008. It's up 23% since last year alone. Defensive holding up 168% since 2008. 168%. There were 11.2 penalties per game in 2008. There's now 14.93. And after last night, that number, I don't know how many penalties there were in last night's game, but I don't think it would have backed this number. We're at about 15 penalties a game now. That's insane.
I thought they'd have been told to back off last night. I really did. Based on the way that Dallas game shook down with it seemed like they gave them opportunity after opportunity. Like, we can't let this happen. And that was talked about on Sunday.
The thing that prompted Patrick to write this email was the six consecutive penalties in the Jets-Cowboys game that happened on Sunday. That's why he wrote this email
Scarred by that.
Neutral zone infractions are up 185%. Oh, that was just year over from last year to this year. So that's not a great number to look at. But the numbers are up across the board.
Well, I mean, if it's a neutral zone, that's dumb. That's dumb.
Gradually, yeah, but that's a small sample.
Yeah.
That's a bad number. I thought that was the 2008 to now. My mistake. But the numbers have gradually increased since 2008. They've gone up. The only year they really had any sort of dip was 2013 for some reason. They had a dip where it dipped down and seemed to go down a little bit, but it's been a gradual increase, and they're now up at near 15 penalties per game, which they've never in the history of the league been over 14. They're now, prior to this year, last year they were 13.41 on average. They've never averaged over 14. Now they're approaching an average of 15. They're up almost up at that 15 penalty per game mark. It's insane. There's too many flags being thrown in the sport. They're looking for too much.
Well,
they're being told to emphasize too many different calls, whether it be hands to the face, whether it be defensive holding, whether it be offensive holding this year, which came out of nowhere, which was the request of the coaches in the league. And it took a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks, for the league to step in and say, "The hell with this, guys. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Why do you want this?
Then fix it."
It's making for a bad product. And there's been a lot of contributing factors to this. There's been a lot of turnover in the referees. There's been a lot of new refs added to the league in recent years. There's been a lot of rule changes in the league in recent years, including this new one this year with being able to review PI. By the way, 0 for 25 is the tab right now. 25 of these have been reviewed. Coaches are now 0 for 25 in the NFL on review of PI.
I told you, Belichick told me that yesterday.
You are now wasting challenges and timeouts. Don't do it.
Which is why Patricia, one of the things that he did write last night, not the 12 men on the field, not anything like that, but one of the things he did do right last night was not challenge that PI, which was there. Because you know at this point,
waste of time, waste of timeouts,
waste of a timeout,
waste of a challenge,
waste of a challenge. But you're right, Beetle. The penalties and the things that they're looking for, as you said, the things that they were told to emphasize. And again, if you need any other further proof, Trey Flowers not been penalized for a hands to the face
ever.
He's in his fifth season. Not once in any of the games he's ever played in has he been flagged for hands to the face. It happened twice last night. Never mind the fact that he didn't actually put his hands to the face.
That's a sad thing.
Either Jared. Time.
His technique is so good, and his whole game is predicated on his length and his arms. And we've talked about this when he was here, because he's not a big guy. He's not 6'6". He's not 6'7". You know, he's one of your smaller defensive linemen, but he has long, big arms. And his leverage and his ability to use his hands up on the pad level, that's where his whole game's predicated. Now you're trying to take that away from him.
So
like, he's good on technique.
So if the league, which is obvious, we could admit, the league is telling the officials, throw more flags.
Call it.
Throw more flags.
If you think you see it, call it.
It's not a huge leap to then believe that the league is saying, throw more flags, and tonight, throw them on the Lions. If they're if they're influencing the game by throwing more flags, why is it such a stretch to say, and throw them on that team?
See, because I don't think they
you
take
can't
it to that
see, here's
part.
The problem.
Because I think you're now saying...
The problem is the play of the quarterback.
They're already influencing the game. Why not...
Because I think you're dealing with officials who are human, and you introduce the human element, and anytime you put refs in an environment like you do at Lambeau, as you've said, you've talked about the mystique of Lambeau.
Well, look,
I think when you go in there, you're going to get calls that go against the road teams.
They keep showing the play.
I think that's how it works.
On NBC Sports Boston, where Rodgers drops back in the pocket. He slides up. The ball's down around his hips. He looks right. He steps right. He slides up again, moves in. He's buying so much time back there that you're allowing multiple opportunities for flags to happen. The problem is Stafford's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 balls out. You can't see it as much. Here, you're looking. You see the ref behind him. He's standing and looking. He's scanning. All of a sudden, you know, Rodgers, it's 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Oh, we got something. Throw it. Part of the way the style of the quarterback plays helps him get calls.
I would hope that if the game last night were in Detroit, that the Lions are kicking 5 field goals, and they're also not getting some of those calls going their way. I would hope. But I don't know.
Why is the league telling the officials to throw more flags?
Because I think there's pressure from the competition committee, which is stupid, that involves some of these coaches that push for these rule changes and emphasis, just like the offensive holding.
But why would the league agree to it?
Which is mind-blowing.
Why would the league agree to it?
Because they listen to their people, which I guess I can't fault them for that.
But
that's dumb.
It's coaches that get screwed from here.
What purpose does
it... We just saw it happen last month. The coaches all got together. They pushed the competition committee. They said, we want an emphasis on offensive holding. And the league said, okay. And then they did it. And it was stupid.
But if they're willing to take the risk and slow the game down and make a product that people don't enjoy as much, what's the benefit to the league from an entertainment standpoint? By calling more flags, what generally happens?
It slows the game down.
But
it's still a three-hour game.
But the games have gone slower. So look at the Patriots games this season.
Who do the flags most often benefit?
Many times will benefit the offense. And the game has, in terms of their way they changed rules, they have changed the rules over the last two decades to benefit the offense.
Let me play this out for 10 seconds.
They've absolutely done that to benefit TV and casual fans. They've been changing rules for decades.
So they're trying to flip it to the offense.
So they're trying to benefit the offense because does the audience like offense more than defense?
The casual fan loves offense.
Yeah. Does the casual fan like the Packers more than the Lions?
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
So why? It's one more step. It's one more step when they're getting the officials together for any specific game or any crew. All right, guys, you know the mandate. A lot of flags benefit the offense, benefit the team that everybody wants to see move on.
So why have they let the Patriots win 6 Super Bowls then?
Because that too is good for the league.
I don't know.
Oh, the Patriots in primetime is good for the league.
It's the Chicago Bulls.
Dallas is good for the league.
The Golden State Warriors. You have an all-time quarterback there. Everybody knows Tom Brady. Now, whether they love the Patriots or hate the Patriots, they know him, and they're going to watch. They're going to watch to root against him. They're going to watch to root for him. They're going to watch because it's a known commodity. It's a known entity. We know him. We know him. Joe Fan, or you know, Jill Fan from the middle of Arizona, I don't care about Matthew Stafford. I don't care about Matt Patricia. Aaron Rodgers. I know Aaron Rodgers. The Green Bay Packers, Lambeau Field. They know these things. It's a product. It's entertainment. How are we going to give them the best show? Get the Packers. Get the Packers the division lead. Make sure they've got the upper hand.
You think the games are fixed? I think it's incompetence. I think there's a lot of factors that lead to a lot of bad calls.
I think it's more competence.
I think it's a hard game to officiate to begin with.
You're telling humans to do more than they can handle.
Yeah, it's a hard game to officiate when you have good officials, and now they've introduced a number of factors that have made it even harder, including new officials, including a number of new rules, a number of new desires to call all these penalties for God knows what reason. They've made it harder. They've made it more difficult. They've purposely made it a worse product. It's stupid. Paul's in Burlington. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. Mark, to Hardy's point, so Trey Flowers, using the same technique, he hasn't been called for that. Well, Booker McFarland said that, he hasn't really been called for that penalty in the past.
He hasn't.
And twice in last night's game, they seem to think that that is a technique that's worth being called as a penalty. So what gives? I mean, Trey Flowers was incredulous last night, and so was I. And I'm not a Lions fan. I'm not a Green Bay fan. I'm a Pats fan. So I'm just trying to figure this all out. And furthermore, guys,
so that automatically means the game is fixed, Paul?
No. I didn't.
I didn't take it down.
No. I didn't say that the referees are on the take, but I do believe that there is some sort of agenda to say, listen, look for these calls, give them the benefit of the doubt. But, twice, though? Come on. I'd have to be blind and stupid to ignore that fact.
See, my thing is, with all these calls, once you get called for it, they look for it again. That goes with every penalty on the field.
Well, here's another thing, too.
They look for you. Once you get called for anything on the field, they will look for you again. That applies to corners when you get called for PI. When you get called on a pick play, they look for it a second time. So is that not true of every defensive penalty?
Yeah. But the biggest thing that I remember, too, when you study players, like you would study feet, or you would study the way a corner would play in somebody's hip pocket.
Offensive lineman holds?
Ty Law would get away with grabbing. He knew how to grab that belt. The sad part is, these refs can't do any scouting. Like, that's Trey Flowers' style, and that's how he plays. His whole game is predicated on getting low, getting up under the pad level, and pushing and keeping that offensive lineman away from his body. Now, if you've never refereed a game against him or saw this guy play, what about what's J.J. Watt do with that big club? Just rips up through, it's a power move, and then he swips and he swaps the head. What are you going to call him for? Heads in the back of the head there? Unless you've ever watched that guy play. The refs don't have the ability to understand how certain guys look differently when they play the game. And I think Trey got screwed last night. I feel bad for them. I do. I got no dog in that fight last night. I came away from that game pissed off.
We'll get some more of your calls coming up. Hardy has headlines also. I want to get to the play where the Packers sat down at the goal line in the final minute of play before kicking their game-winning field goal. What would the Patriots do in that situation right now if it was presented to them? Would you leave it up to Mike Nugent to kick that field goal? Hardy has the headlines. Also, Billy Jaffe later this hour on the hot start for the Bruins.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
That. First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rodgers up behind center. Takes the snap, turns, gives to Jamal Williams. They're going to let him score. And Williams is going to take it down to the 2-yard line and stop.
Smart.
Yeah, Lions tried to let him go in for the touchdown. Jamal Williams didn't do it. He stopped right at the 3.
Hand off Jamal. Picks his way up the right side of the 4. And he slides to a stop inside the 5-yard line.
I think some of the Lions were thinking, let him score.
And Jamal looked to me like he didn't slip. He just went down on purpose. He just didn't want to get into the end zone there.
Heads up play on his part.
A very heads up play.
Jamal Williams, with 1:36 to go in the game last night, runs 8 yards to the Detroit 3. The Lions were too close to him. They bumped into him as he slid to the turf. they avoided him a little too late there. They should have let him slide to that turf, and I don't know. He was he noticed it as they were running, like, oh, I got to get down. Damn it. Like,
the hell are you doing?
So anyway, he sits down there at the goal line because they want to bleed the clock with 1:36 to go. Yeah. They want to kick the field goal instead. And so that brought it down to the three, and then Aaron Rodgers took two knees to go from 1:36 at the start of that play all the way down to 2 seconds on the clock. If that were the Patriots, mm-hmm. and that happens Monday night against the Jets, and you have the opportunity to kick a 23-yard field goal with Mike Nugent at the end of the game,
yeah.
instead of scoring the touchdown with a minute and a half to go, what do you do if you're Bill Belichick? I can tell you right now.
I get Sony Michel in a huddle, and I put an X right on top of his, helmet. Hit it off the goalpost.
If Jamal Williams is Sony Michel with a minute 36 and you hand off and he's got a chance to score, you run that ball right into the end zone, sir.
With your defense. Especially with your defense, this Patriot defense.
And I don't
even know. Maybe Green Bay doesn't like their defense.
Yeah, maybe they don't. But you know what? It is a sign of the times in the NFL when that is just automatically considered, oh, they're so smart. Because everyone's defense blows in this league.
No, they call it smart because it's a different play.
And everyone's afraid of putting their defense on the field to win a game. Everybody is. Everyone has to win with their offense on the field last. Everyone does. Not for the Patriots. I'm telling you right now, the smart play for the Patriots, if that were them last night, don't put that on your kicker. I don't want to put that on Mike Nugent. I don't care if it's 23 yards and it's a chip shot. I want that touchdown if I'm the Patriots this weekend or any other weekend. If that's Sony Michel, run that baby in. I am not putting that on Mike Nugent. I am not putting that on the holder, on the laces being backwards or the snap being crap or anything. Nope.
The snap is crap.
Instead of a guaranteed win, you want a possible loss. That's what you're going to do there.
It's not a guaranteed win. That's
when
you're dead wrong.
When's the last time Mike Nugent missed from 27 and below?
I don't know. When was the last time the laces were...
81 of 81.
When was the last time the laces were in? Last week?
He's got his last 81 kicks under 30 yards.
When was the last time he had a holder who couldn't get the laces going the right way?
He run it in.
Just telling you, he's got 81. His last 81 kicks under 30 yards are good.
Don't care. Do not care. I don't care what the stats say. Mike Nugent's been pretty much out of football for a couple of years. I'm not putting it on the foot of Mike Nugent right now. I don't care.
No, put it on the refs for a Hail Mary throw. Put it on the refs for a long pass that could be called pass interference.
Run it in
that way.
If it's Sony Michel and it's the Patriots Monday night at the Jets with a minute and a half to go, you run that baby in and you put your defense on the field. Thank you very much.
Ball game.
Thanks.
I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're smart guys, though.
But the problem is...
You got to understand your team.
And from a strategy standpoint...
So what about last night, then? Was last night a good move, or was last night not a good move?
I just hate it in general. Like, it's automatic.
The New York Giants did this to you in a Super Bowl.
By the way, I didn't know. You told me this morning that had big implications for the gamblers last night, huh?
That's what Jimmy tells me.
I didn't know that.
Who, your kid?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
The intern.
That impacted both the line and the over-under on the game.
He said Todd Gurley, when he did it a couple years ago, the same thing happened.
Got killed for him. I remember that.
But from a strategy standpoint, Beetle... If your opponent wants you to do something so badly...
I just hate leaving it to a kicker.
Okay, but if your opponent wants you to do something so badly, that should automatically make you question whether or not you should do it. And they wanted them to score the touchdown there. They knew it. The Lions knew it. Maybe we shouldn't do it.
Patriots tried to do that to the Giants in the Super Bowl. Remember New York fell right at the goal line to run out the clock?
Because
they don't want Tom Brady to get the ball back.
You understand what I'm saying?
But it's about the quarterback on the other side, too.
Because it's very hard to impact a kick attempt. If a kick is to go wrong, it's typically because you screwed up, not because you blocked a kick. It's really hard to block a field goal, right?
It's
a very hard thing to do.
I think it's based on how your team's going, too. If I go back to last year and it's Mahomes and it's Kansas City that you're driving on, maybe the Patriots take the knee there, too. Because you don't want to give the ball back to Mahomes because he can throw it 65 yards.
But to Hardy's point, if a kick goes wrong, it's typically because the team screwed it up. That's how I feel about it. So you want a chance to control something, which is why you want to let them score. You at least want to give yourself a chance to have control over some sort of shot in the game at the end. You want to feel like you've got a shot, even though your shot of going down the field and scoring might be just as small as, or even smaller than either you blocking it or them screwing up the kick. Because the chance of a team screwing up a kick, based on watching the NFL, is pretty good. Kickers suck.
Even from 23,
they suck.
You can screw up a 23-yard kick and still hit it.
Yeah, no, that's true.
How often do they miss that badly where it would be bad from 23?
I don't know, but I just don't like leaving it up to kickers ever. I just don't like doing it.
Especially a young coach, like too. You got a new coach on the floor, man. Like, just get the ball in the end zone.
So you're saying it's situational then, though. It's situational. So to me, what was last night to you?
It is.
What was last night to you?
If your defense blows, you should definitely
leave. Maybe Green Bay's defense is getting too much credit for what they are. Yeah. And maybe they're not that good. I don't know that. But I know the Patriots' defense is pretty freaking good. Last night, if I was the Patriots and I'm running the ball, and I stuff it down their throat and I score and I put my defense out there. Because that's how my defense is constituted this year. Maybe it changes a year ago if it's Mahomes on the other side. Let's take some calls.
We got to go to Billy Jaffe. Okay. He's going to join us coming up on the other side. We'll talk about the Bruins' hot start and David Pastrnak's day. We'll get to that coming up with Billy next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help.
Boston, Boston, Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 95 The Sports Hub.
That didn't work either. Out in front, they score! The Bruins lost the draw. It skittered off a duck stick right to David Pastrnak, who sizzles it in. The holiday hat trick. It's 3-1 Bruins.
Slot. Here's Crew. Wrist far circle. Marchand shoots, deflected. They score! That's a far spot for David Pastrnak.
What are you wearing today, David Pastrnak, in that fancy suit of yours? Whose is that?
This is just a salmon suit. My mama always tells me I look good in salmon, so that's why I choose.
We welcome in Billy Jaffe from Nesson. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. That's him with David Pastrnak after the game yesterday. 4 goals for David Pastrnak. Billy's off to a pretty damn good start.
I would say so. I'd agree with that. 4 goals yesterday, 10 points on the season overall. Salmon suit, pattern suit, hat, no hat. I would say that pasta's cooking early on in this season.
Shower, no shower. I mean, there's times it looks like he never showers. I mean,
well, that's the beauty of youth, though. You know, right. There's that guy that, you know, they've taken a shower, but they always look like they haven't. It's just that messy look.
Why do hockey players do that? Like, but you look at the Rangers. Like, the Rangers are a clean cut group. You're all gonna like the blacks.
I don't know. Maybe by Lundqvist. Maybe because he's got that perfect look to him.
Yep.
That disgusting head of hair, you know, which I can't stand.
Filthy.
Jealous. Yeah. Yes, but no. Look, pasta's great. The line's great. Everything's great right now. Weather was great yesterday. The atmosphere was great.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Fun.
Billy,
fun
is he ready to take the next step in his career? I know that last year was a little bit rough for him, given the injury and sort of the source of that injury not being hockey related. Is he ready to maybe to take that next step, not only on but off the ice?
Yeah, it feels like it. You know, you see the maturity and other players that have come through here, and you know, the guy that comes to mind big time is Marchand, who's just, I mean, he put on 2 games ago. Oh my God, did he put on a stick handling clinic? And you know, physical maturity, mental maturity. I mean, he just continues to, you know, be a superstar. And I think Pastrnak has learned from Brad. And I think he's learned from Patrice, and I think that he's seen that, you know, the proverbial the sky's the limit for him, Beetle, as a player, and in this town too, as far as hockey goes. And I think it's a very fair comment / question that I think Pastrnak is ready to take off to another level, and that's what you hope your superstars are going to become, that next level of superstar. Then other young kids look to them the same way that he's looked to those other guys.
Based on the start, I think it's what, Tampa Thursday, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, is this really their first true test?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, well, let me rephrase. No, this is a big test. Obviously, you go Tampa, Toronto, Toronto, though. So
no, and I say that because the way the year started last year, and like they got their butts kicked coming out of the gate, like they're on fire now.
Yeah, they're on fire. But let's not forget that West Coast road trip was against some teams that are, I mean, Vegas is considered the top team in the West, and they skated stride for stride with them. But yes, you always want to see how you are. You measure yourself against the best, no question about it. But the fact is, when you see a Western team only once or twice, one home, one away per season, versus a team that you see numerous times, for example, Toronto or Tampa, you tend to measure yourself against them, and rightfully so, that much more. You're right, Thursday night is a big test. Tampa plays tonight in Montreal, then they're on the road. They'll come here, have the day off tomorrow, and then the Bruins play them on Thursday. We have not seen a full game lull yet out of the Bees, and this is something that we kind of, I'm kind of expecting a little bit of a letdown here or there, just given the fact that, you know, you're on this high and then, you know, to ramp up. But on the, what we
scheduled
seen
loss,
is,
you're having scheduled loss now. I can hear it.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm saying we're seeing periods, literally periods of it. Yesterday's second period was awful. You ask any Bruin player or coach, and they would say, "Oh my God, that was awful." But if they're limiting their meltdowns or their letdowns, perhaps, to one period, that's pretty impressive, you know, instead of a full 60-minute type of thing.
Yeah, has the second period been sort of their issue this season?
Yeah, it has. It has. I don't have the numbers in front. I don't remember exactly how many for and against. Last year, it was the opposite, Beetle. We talked about that in the yesterday about how they didn't start on time often and had a great second period. This year, it's the antithesis. So it has been a bit of an issue. It's not nitpicking. It's by the numbers. You can look that they're significantly higher. They're dominating first and second periods. They seem to come out after that 17-minute intermission and just can't get it going again. Yesterday was their worst period of the year, though. Absolutely. The amount they turned the puck over and breakaways they gave up and Halak, their goaltenders, I don't need to tell you this. They've been phenomenal. He saved their ass.
And that's the best thing they got going, too. I mean, their ability to flip these goalies and sort of extend them. Who gets to start Thursday? It's Tuukka, right?
I got to imagine Tuukka. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't go Tuukka, then Yarrow, then Tuukka.
Yeah.
Unless Bruce and his staff and Bob Esenza, and Bruce alluded to it in postgame with us yesterday, Zoe, about, you know, there's going to be a time they might get multiple starts or consecutive starts for Tuukka to, to try and get him. But then he also said, look, there might be a few times where Yarrow gets some consecutive starts. But I would think the Tuukka goes Thursday. The team is off full day today. No media, no nothing. So don't have any update on David Krejci. I thought at first it was lower body again. And Bruce said it was upper body in the post-game interview. So got cross-checked and tried to go again. Let's hope, Bruce said, look, I've said this before and I've been wrong here and there. I don't think it's anything serious, but so we'll have to wait and see. The fact that he can only play, I think it was 7 shifts in about 4.5 minutes, is obviously some cause for concern.
Yeah, that's what it was yesterday. Under 5 minutes for him. And do you think that, for him just getting going here might be a problem for him at the start of the season? Could he afford to just take a little time off here and get right?
Yes.
Given where the record is at for the team, they've got a little bit of a cushion here. They've obviously got some younger players who can fill in. If I'm the Bruins, I might look at this and say, take your time.
Oh, no question. Beetle, they will. Donnie Sweeney and the staff, the manager, everybody, they're smart about that. They're not going to push. And besides young players, Beetle, they have Par Lindholm, who they brought in and actually played very well for his role the first couple of games. And now they've taken him out as they've got Nordstrom back and they move Corrali back to center. So if you want to see if Par Lindholm can, elevate a little bit, can bring a little more offense, which they want to see, maybe this is an opportunity to put him back in the lineup. I would think that Charlie Coyle elevates to the second line. That's my guess. And then Lindholm would maybe, flash in on the third line and see if, he's very responsible defensively already. But let's see maybe if he can get a little more. But the way that they're rolling right now, the depth that they have is nice. Anders Bjork has played beautifully in the American League. Kid's gone down there, has done his job. I still think he plays a couple being 3 to 5 more games down there to keep doing it, and then there could be an opportunity if he keeps it up to have him come up here, and then you've got some more offense, at least capable offense, potential on the wing.
How's the building feel, though, Billy, too? I mean, on TV, it looks great. I don't know what it is with the ice. Like, the ice is, I don't know if it's the black seats or, just the way the ice is reflected off the screen. It looks good on TV.
Yeah, it looks great. They're still working hard to finish it up. It's going to take a few more weeks. Did an interview with the president of the Garden, Amy Latimer, the other day, and they're working diligently at certain areas or the mm-hmm. seats. They're going to fix it as best as they can. She is absolutely committed to it. But it looks great. The Zedel. It looks great on TV, and it looks great in person, yeah. The brightness of it. I can't wait for the bars to be open on 8 and 9. That should provide some interesting viewing areas and perhaps some scenes up there. But probably another few weeks. All good. The vibe was good. Obviously, as you heard Judd's call, a holiday hat trick. It's nice to see a lot of hats going onto the ice. The fans were in festive mood, and got to see a lot of them post-game at the Fan Fest outside. So far, so good. Look, you know there's going to be a lull here or there. It's just too long of a season. You know it here or there. But the fact that they're getting these wins right now, and I'm sorry for the cliche, these points are worth the same as points in March. So good for them right now. Smart on them. And by the way, the other player that's played really well the last couple of games is their oldest guy, Zdeno Chara. He's looked really, his stick work has been fantastic the last couple of games. That's been fun to watch.
All right, Billy Jaffe, catch him on Nesson pre and post. Next game coming up against the Lightning. That's just a couple of days from now. Billy, thank you.
See you, Bill.
See you, Zedel. See you, guys.
All right, Billy Jaffe on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hardy has our headlines.
What do they do with all them hats? Like, they take the bucket. I see the big garbage can. They wheel them around. They take all them hats off, like these $30 hats.
Yeah, if there's any nice ones, those guys take them home.
He gets a nitpick, right? The Bull Gang. Yeah. They just, like, go right through it.
That's a benefit of the Bull Gang right
pretty,
there.
Pretty good gig.
One of the Bennies. Hardy has headlines, 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back with hour number two of the show. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.